Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter number 2, it's in the New Testament. I'm trying to mind the Lord, so I trust that you'll do the same. I need the Lord's help. Galatians chapter number 2, you got your place, say amen. I'm going to begin reading about verse 16. Knowing, mark that word knowing. He doesn't say hoping. He doesn't say thinking. He doesn't say debating, but he says knowing. There's no doubt in our mind here. We're affirmative of this. If you read the book of Galatians, Paul is writing to a group of people that he had been around before, he had preached to, and he had seen some of them saved, and after he had departed, they were like jello, sort of. They vacillated. They went from one to the next of opinions. And after Paul, the apostle, had preached the gospel of the grace of God, and matter of fact, in chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, he said that there was no other gospel, and if somebody, even an angel, came and preached another gospel, let him be accursed. Those strong words. So he had preached the gospel of the grace of God to the people of Galatia, and then he had left. And after he had left, there had been some that had crept in, and they were beginning to try to sway the people of Galatia's opinion and to get them to think that you had started by grace, but you had to finish by works. And so Paul was writing, and he's dealing with this, what we would call Judaism, or in our days, the word legalism gets brought up. That's not a Bible word, but the definition is definitely there. The keeping of the law. And I want to go on record, and I want to say this up front this morning. And Paul is going to make this clear in Galatians and Ephesians, but I want to draw the line in the sand. Okay, are you listening? You know what I mean? I'm drawing the line in the sand. No one, are you listening? No one, not one person, Old Testament or New Testament, has ever been saved by keeping the law. No one, Old Testament or New Testament, was ever saved by being good enough. Old Testament or New Testament, no one was ever saved by baptism. Are you listening? My wife said that's the phrase I use a lot. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? If you ain't listening, you ain't getting it. No one, Old or New Testament, has ever been saved by works, by baptism, by church membership, by heritage. Knowing, verse 16, knowing that a man, it could be a man or a woman, a general word, a man, any of humanity, knowing that a man is not justified, that word justified is to be declared righteous in the sight of God. No man is justified. He said, a man is not justified. You need to get this. He doesn't say, I'm thinking or I may be wrong. He said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Amen, hallelujah. No man, hey. A man is not justified by the works of the law. That just blew out about 99.9% of the so-called preaching in our churches in America. You're not justified by being good. You're not justified by keeping the Ten Commandments or keeping the Golden Rule. You're not justified by being baptized. He tells us, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. But what, Paul? But by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall, what? No flesh be justified. By the works, did y'all see that? Of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. And so Paul is basically in these verses summing it up. He's saying no man is justified by the works of the law, but he's justified by the faith of Christ. And he said, I'm not saying this is a license to sin. I'm not telling you to go out here and to run rampant. I'm not telling you that Christ is a minister of sin. What I'm telling you is that you're not saved by being good. You're not saved by keeping the law. You're only saved by your faith of Christ.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I like that, knowing that a man is justified by the works of the law. Father, help us to preach in these moments this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Here's a question for you. What are you counting for your justification? What are you counting for your justification? We could stand here this morning and we could talk in Romans 3:23 that all is sin and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Romans 3 is very clear. There's none righteous, no, not one. Are you listening? Every one of us are sinners. Every one of us stand without Christ, we are condemned. Children of wrath. Every one of us, before you met Christ, you were not on your way to hell. You were as good as there. The children of wrath. The wrath of God, John 3:36 said, abideth on them that do not believe. And so every one of humanity, every man, woman, boy, girl that has ever lived has been born into depravity and born condemned. Jesus said he didn't come to condemn men, but he came. He said that, hey, that through him they might be saved. Amen. And you ought to be thankful for that. But how can we be saved? Some denominations would teach you that you would have to keep this list and do this to be saved. Some denominations would teach you that there's nothing but the water and the baptism. I heard of a denomination, I didn't know they went this far, but I heard a statement this week from certain denominations, they said you don't touch the blood till you go through the baptistry. You're talking about getting the cart before the horse. Let me tell you something, ain't no need touching the baptistry till you go through the blood. How can I be justified, preacher? Justified means declared righteous, made right in the God, in the sight of God. I'm talking about in the courtroom of God's justice. You talk about God's mercy and God's love and all that, and I'm thankful for that, but he's still a God of justice and holiness. So how can I stand in his courtroom, so to speak? And how can I that have sinned, I that am guilty, I that deserve to die, I that deserve to be in the lake of fire for eternity, how could I ever have any hope of being justified? Well, he tells us right here in this verse. How could I ever have any hope of God dropping the gavel and saying righteous? My wife can tell you that's not the case. And don't laugh, because your wife can say the same about you. Or your husband about you, ma'am. Or your children. We don't stop. I'm afraid that we come in church and we want God to encourage us so many times, and we forget about the fact that we were born wretched sinners. We don't deserve the goodness of God. We don't deserve salvation. It's not because of our haircuts and our long dresses and our nice appeal. And listen, we are not saved because we're white or because we've got money or because we've clean cut. Hey, listen, are you listening to me? The only way that you and I could ever be justified, and the only way that we could ever stand and say that we're right with God, is because of Jesus Christ. He said, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we had believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. And not, notice that, not by the works of the law. Watch this last phrase. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. By the works of the law shall no flesh. I've heard this statement. Somebody will die and somebody say, well, surely they made it in. If they didn't make it, ain't nobody. Now, I guess, get what they're trying to say. They're trying to brag and say they was a good person. But I got news for you. Ain't nobody made it because they was a good person. Somebody said, why does bad things happen to good people? It only happened one time. And that's when Jesus was on the cross and became our sin. And a lot of bad happened to the only good person that ever lived. How can I have any hope of being justified? How can I have any hope? By the faith of Christ. It's not by our works. And that's sort of the point I'm trying to get across to you this morning. If I had a title, Brother Danny, here it is. It's not of works. Not of works. You can't do enough good works to please God. And let me ask you the question. If you think you can, why do you think Jesus had to die? If you can stand in a lot of people got this in the South. I ran into this. I mean, and I grew up in the South. Thank God I'm a Southerner. Amen. I do. I'm thankful for that. I count it an honor, a blessing of God. But I got news for you. People got in this mindset that there's going to be some kind of general resurrection, and the good is going to be a weight on this side, and the bad's going to be a weight on this side. And if my good outweighs my bad, I go to heaven. If my bad outweighs my good, I'm going to hell. I got news for you. You can search high and low and far and wide, and you will not find that teaching in the Bible anywhere. What you'll find in the Bible is that every one of us are sinners. Every one of us are guilty. Every one of us, if we were judging our good and our bad, matter of fact, Isaiah says, some people say, well, in the Old Testament, they were saved by the words. Really? Isaiah 64:6 said, all our righteousness is filthy rags. So all of my righteousness was as filthy rags. Sounds like to me, my bad's always going to outweigh my good. Somebody might as well help me because this is what I'm preaching this morning. My good would never outweigh my bad. If all of my righteousness is filthy rags, how would my righteousness outweigh my wickedness if my righteousness looks like filthy rags? No man, woman, boy, girl, Jew, Gentile, no matter what nationality, no matter what age bracket, no matter who they are, what dispensation they've ever lived, no man has ever been saved by the keeping of the law. Not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Flip over to the book of Ephesians. Flip over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2. Very familiar portion of scripture here. Ephesians chapter number 2. Verse number 8. For by grace, that's that unearned, unmerited, undeserved. For by grace are ye saved. Not are you being saved, but are you saved? Hey, past tense. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I need some help. Brother Rodney, come up here. It is the gift of God. Not, here it is again, that phrase. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Brother Rodney, if I was to use Brother Rodney this morning, let's just stand right here where everybody can see us, all right? And I'm not really going to give this to him, all right? This is the churches, all right? But just as a use of illustration. If I say Brother Rodney, this right here is a reward. You can earn it. This is a reward. You can earn it. Now, I'm going to give you a list of things that you've got to do to earn this. If I made that same deal with everybody in here, would you not agree that there would be some people more able to keep the list and meet the requirements? Some people have superior talents. Some people have superior knowledge. And like it or not, some people are born into more favorable conditions. I'm not God. I didn't set the parameters. But so if I said, this is yours, you have a chance to earn it. And let's say that this represents my salvation, my home in heaven. Rodney, here's what you've got to do to earn salvation and spend eternity in heaven. Let me ask you a question. Would you do your dead level bottom best to earn it? You probably would you? But now, if I told you that the requirements was for you to be righteous, could you ever meet it? Couldn't meet it. Now, let's turn it around. He couldn't meet it, and you couldn't meet it, and I couldn't meet it, all right? Well, let's turn it around. Brother Rodney, this is not a reward. You can't earn it. This is a gift. It's free. You know who can have it? Anybody. I'm making this available to anybody. This is a free gift. That's what he said. It is the gift of God. Did you see that in verse number 9? It is the gift of God. Verse 8 and 9. It is the gift of God. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So if it was of works, if it was a reward, somebody could say, well, I did this to earn it. Somebody else could say, well, I did more of that and I did this. No, he said it's not of works, lest any man should boast, but it's the gift. Glory. So if it's a gift, what must I do to receive the gift? Accept it. There's the gift. It's yours. Watch now. What did he have to do? Receive it. Why do you think Jesus said in John 1, 11 and 12, said he came to his own, but his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. As many as received him. Now, who gets to receive him? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you. You see the difference? There is a vast difference. Now, once you're saved, there's some rewards that you can earn. Has nothing to do with whether you're saved and whether you go to heaven. Has everything to do with how you're going to live once you get to heaven and the rewards you'll have to give back to Christ. Amen. And you can earn rewards, but you can't earn the gift. Nope. If you don't receive the gift, you'll never earn the reward. Right. Salvation's a gift. All right, Ephesians right here we're in. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift. You see that? It is the gift. Is that clear? It is the gift of God. Not of works. There it is again. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, listen, take your Bible and turn over to the book of Titus. Keep going to the right. It is the gift, not of works, not of works. Titus chapter number 3, verse number 5. Everybody there? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By what? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Pretty clear in one verse, isn't it? Not by works of righteousness which we have done. You didn't do anything to save yourself. It wasn't you joining a church. It wasn't you paying a tithe. It wasn't you doing a good deed. It wasn't you being baptized. It wasn't anything that you could have done. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It was the goodness of God that said, I'll save you. It's according to his mercy. Mercy means I didn't get what I did deserve. That means I don't don't have to go to hell. That means I don't have to pay for my sin. Jesus Christ stepped in my place. And Jesus Christ, in love and mercy, went to Calvary. And he went to Calvary. Not only did he take my sin, not only did he carry my sin, but 2 Corinthians 5 said that he who knew no sin became our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I'm telling you that Jesus Christ in mercy went to Calvary. Jesus Christ in mercy went to the cross, and he took your sin and he became your sin, and he died a death he did not deserve, and he paid a debt that he did not owe, because you had a debt that you couldn't pay and you owed a death you was going to die. But he stepped in mercy, and he stepped in love, and he stepped in grace. And you ought to thank God. Hey, you ought to lift your hands in praise this morning and say hallelujah to God. I couldn't work my way in. I couldn't buy my way in. I couldn't get baptized enough to clean myself up to get in. But thank God, it was the mercy and the grace of God that he stepped in my place in mercy, and he washed me in regeneration, and he renewed me with the Holy Ghost, and he made me a new creature. You ought to thank God. Not of works, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but it's the gift of God. It's the gift. You being justified is a gift. I got a few more verses I want to show you. I want you to go to John chapter number 4. We're just looking at the Bible this morning. John chapter number 4, you know the story well. Jesus meets a little woman down there by Jacob's well. Down by Jacob's well, she comes to draw water. In verse 9, the woman saith, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So Jesus goes down by this well. The Bible said at the beginning of the chapter that he must needs go through Samaria. It was divinely appointed that he would go that way that day. And Jesus, being a Jew, he goes down to where the Samaritan woman was. A Samaritan was an offcast in that day. She wasn't a Gentile completely of another race, and she wasn't or nationality, and she wasn't of the Jewish nationality, but she was sort of what we would call a mix. And the Jews didn't like them, and the Gentiles didn't like them, but Jesus loved them. Hallelujah. Amen. And Jesus went down by Jacob's well. Said he must needs go down there, and he asked her to get him a drink of water. She's looking at the nationalities, and she's looking at the religion, and she's looking at the culture and the customs, all the barriers. She's looking at the depth of the well and the fact that Jesus had no pot. But notice verse number 10. Jesus answered her and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Jesus said, you're all blown out of proportions. You're all worried about a well here, and you're thinking about that. He said, but if you'd have knew who I was, if you would have known the gift of God, you would have asked of me, and he said, I would have gave you living water. He's talking about salvation. You know the rest of the story. Man, she trusted him. She dropped her water pots. And I'm talking about she ran and she told everybody, come see a man that told me everything ever I did. She met the gift. She received the gift. Go to Romans. Go to Romans. I don't normally preach like this, but the Lord put this in my heart. I'm in Romans chapter number 3. It's not of works. It's a gift. Not of works. Don't you think that you're going to get to heaven because you've been good enough? Because you didn't clean yourself up to get in. Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I like that next verse. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely. Hey, I like something Brother Bug said a long time ago. He said it's free, but it wasn't cheap. Being justified freely. Do you see that right there? Freely. It didn't cost you anything. Being justified freely by His grace didn't cost you a dime. But the latter part says, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Didn't cost you anything, but it cost Jesus everything. You're not saved by your works. You're not justified by your works. You're justified by faith in Christ because Christ did all the work. Oh, yeah. He said, no man takes my life. I lay it down. And Jesus went to Calvary and He laid His life down. And He provided eternal redemption for your soul. And He laid there and He allowed them to nail Him to a cross. And He shed His blood. And He cried out from the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Because He did that, you and me, all of us, unworthy as we are, guilty, condemned, we can come in faith and receive the gift and be justified freely. That redemption has the idea that He bought us out of the slave pit of sin, that He purchased us, that He bought us and paid for us. Because Jesus paid it all, you and I can be justified freely. I could read through Romans and Romans chapter number 4. I could go over here and read several verses, but in Romans chapter number 4 and verse number 24, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You say, preacher, I still think some of those people in the Old Testament might have worked their way in. Well, if you go back to Romans chapter number 4 and look back in verse number 3, for what saith the Scripture, Abraham, that's that Old Testament patriarch, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But watch verse 5. But to him that worketh not, let me ask you a question. If you work, are you going to get a paycheck? If you don't work, you're not going to get one, are you? But salvation is not a paycheck. Hello? We just established salvation is a gift. Watch verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Who's the ungodly? That's you and me. And what did you have? His faith is counted for righteousness. His faith. Your faith. Not of works. Not of works. His faith. Simply put, that you look to what Christ did at Calvary and you believe and you say that if I'm going to get declared righteous, if I'm going to be justified, if I'm going to have my sins washed away, if I'm going to have any chance of salvation, if I am going to go to heaven, the only way that I'll go, it's not by anything that I can do. It's not in the works of my lifestyle. It's not in anything that I could pay. Listen, it's not in anything I could do, but it's only through Jesus Christ. The songwriter said it. He said, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. One more scripture, Romans chapter number 6. Verse 23. For the wages, that's the paycheck, the recompense, the wages of sin is death. If you don't trust Christ, if you don't put your faith in Christ, if you try to pay it off on your own, if you try to work your way in, if you try to be religious and try to be moral and try to be good, the wages of sin is death. The only thing that you can transfer for your sin is death. That's physical death, separation, body and spirit and soul separated. And it's also spiritual death, separated from God eternally. The wages of sin is death. But once again, but, the latter part of that verse, read it right there in your King James Bible. But the, somebody say that next word, the gift. Somebody look at your person beside you. I mean, we ain't trying to be crazy, but look at the person beside you and say, but the gift. It's all right. I'm giving you permission to talk in church. But the gift. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you get that? It's not of works. Did we establish that this morning? It's not of works. It's a gift. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's the question this morning. Have you, by faith, received the gift? Have you, by faith, reached out and received the gift? Now, you may be sitting here this morning and you think, well, I'm trying to do this, and I'm trying to be this, and I'm trying. If you're trying to do that, what you're trying to do is pay the debt that you can't pay. Well, I've been baptized, I've joined the church, I've blah, 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 blah. It's not anything about I. It's Jesus. It's faith in Christ alone, plus nothing, minus nothing, to receive the gift. It's simply like this. Jesus, I deserve to go to hell. I'm a sinner. But I believe what you did at Calvary. And I believe in the finished work of Calvary. And I believe in the empty tomb. And I trust you did it for me. And God, I realize if I'm going to go to heaven, the only way I'm going is through you. If I'm going to ever be righteous, I realize the only way I can be righteous is through Christ. And just simply, by faith, receive the gift. The gift. Not of works. Not of works. Don't leave here today trying to make it in. Don't leave here today doing your best. Your best is not good enough. Father, take the message. Speak to hearts and lives. I pray, God, that you'd watch over this invitation time. I pray, God, you'd walk in and out the aisles, up and down the pews. You know every heart. You know the condition of each one of us. And I pray, God, that you'd take the hindrances and remove them. And I pray, Lord, this morning, for those that may be here without Christ. They may be a church member. They may be a good person morally, but they never truly placed their faith and trust in Christ. Pray, Lord, you'd speak to that heart. Help them. Oh, God, this morning, to be saved before it be too late. Be pleased in everything that's said and done. Maybe there's some Christians that you've helped somehow today. Speak to us and through us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're standing all across the auditorium, heads are bowed.